This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. And unless you have been on a strict news fast until this very moment, you know that we have had weeks of revelations of high-profile sexual harassment in the workplace. You could argue that the stories are evidence of something in addition to some men's bad behavior. They're also evidence that women have found ways to create and contribute despite constraints and pressures that men largely don't need to think about. KUOW's poetry correspondent Elizabeth Austin is here with a new book of poems that takes a historical look at women battling those constraints and succeeding. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Bill.
What is this new poetry collection?
It's called Mary's Dust, and it's by a Seattle poet named Melinda Miller. The poems give voice to 2,000 years worth of historical Marys, beginning with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and continuing through the centuries. These poems are meticulously researched, and in them we encounter some famous Marys, like Mary Magdalene and Marie Curie, and many largely unknown Marys, like the Victorian explorer Mary Henrietta Kingsley, as well as various mystics, scientists, and artists.
All real-life Marys.
All real-life Marys.
What a great idea. And Elizabeth, what most grabbed your attention in these poems?
Well, you know, what really grabbed me, Bill, was the poems about women who managed to have a sense of agency about their own lives, but also about the historical moment they found themselves in, despite the constraints of their time and society. So the poem I want you to hear is called Covert Acts. It's set in the American Civil War, and it gives us three different Marys who were active participants on the Union side.
Who is the first Mary?
First, we hear how Melinda Miller imagines Private Mary Galloway. She was just one of an unknowable number of women who disguised themselves as men to fight in the Civil War. So here's Melinda Miller reading the opening of her poem, Covert Acts.
Covert Acts, Private M. Galloway, Field Hospital near Antietam, September 18, 1862. I am discovered. After months of going off alone to piss in the woods, as they all do anyway, the latrines being so foul, and to bleed there monthly, but then we all bled, didn't we, one way or another. After sleeping clothed and bathing clothed, and that too no different from the rest, all of us clothed in grime, no laundry is the equal to, unless the angels' washing house in heaven. After pitching my voice low enough to pass, after smudging my chin with coffee grounds and acting stubble proud like all the boys, after learning to smoke and learning to swagger and swear and fire a rifle under fire and to stomach hardtack and maggot-ridden bacon, after answering to reveille, advance, retreat, hold the line, hold your fire and fire at will, after fix bayonets and damn your eyes, after all that, some rebel boy, damn his eyes, puts a ball in my chest, and there's no hiding what else is there. When Miss Barton, thank God it was a woman anyway, peels the filthy woolens from the wound and looks me in the eyes and almost smiles.
That was Melinda Miller reading the first section of Covert Acts from her new collection, Mary's Dust. Elizabeth, you said this was meticulously researched. Do we know whether the poet got information from Mary Galloway's diary? Do we know is this or whether this is completely imagined and fictionalized?
Well, my understanding is that she did use primary sources and that the scene that she imagines did actually happen, that Clara Barton, who was an important innovator in nursing and went on to found the American Red Cross, that she was the one who actually discovered that Mary Galloway was, in fact, a woman.
Wow. Yeah, you hear her mentioning Miss Barton there at the end. That's the famous nurse.
Exactly. And one of the things that I want to point out is that almost smile that Clara Barton gives as she looks at this female soldier. I hear that as a fleeting image of solidarity. Mary Galloway is seen. Her courage is recognized.
We're going to get into that. That metaphor is going to come up again, who's seen and unseen. But you said, Elizabeth, there are three voices in this poem, so who speaks next?
Well, this next one is going to be Melinda Miller imagining the thoughts of Mary Edwards Walker, who was the first female surgeon to serve in the United States Army.
M. E. Walker, field surgeon, Battle of Chickamauga, September 19 to 20, 1863. Walking among the stretchers, I imagine them, these boys and men, running in the battlefield, the battle woods, through slabs of light and falling under the weight of it. And as each falls, his foolish heart keeps closing on fistfuls of blood until it has wrung the body dry. Or if not, if they make it this far, gangrene likely does the job instead. First they look at you, eyes mad with terror, and then they start to sink away, back and down a fathomless well of thought, farther and farther, and out of sight, and out of sight. And if the last face they saw was a woman's, mine, a woman dressed in trousers so I could stand in their blood, not in a skirt sopping with the weight of it, does anyone suppose it can have mattered? Or that my own heart will not, from the sight of all this dying, also wring me dry.
We're listening to poet Melinda Miller reading from her poem Covert Act. And again, Elizabeth, there's the power of people seeing each other on the battlefield.
Exactly. So Melinda Miller gives us this scene of this woman who's managed to become a field surgeon in the middle of the 19th century. And what Melinda creates here is this little scene of Dr. Mary Walker meditating on that reciprocal act of seeing. She sees the soldier suffering, and they see her female face, this woman who wears men's clothing for its practicality so that she can better attempt to help them, not as Private Galloway has to do in the previous poem, as a disguise. So there's this mutual recognition of their humanity, I think, really there.
So now, Elizabeth, we're about to meet yet one more Mary.
Yes. In this final section, we meet Mary Bowser, a freedwoman who posed as a slave in Jefferson Davis's home so that she could gather intelligence for the Union. And Jefferson Davis, of course, was the president of the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Melinda Miller.
M. E. Bowser, a.k.a. Ellen Bond, Union spy, home of Jefferson Davis, Richmond, 1864. Slow-witted, unlettered, of no account on account of my black skin. They have no idea. They talk among themselves as if I were deaf. They leave their papers lying on their desks, the which I read while dusting, and remember perfectly, eidetically, from the Greek, eidos, meaning to see. I see and am unseen. Their blindness will be their undoing. As it is for all my knighted children, my lord, my only lord, reminds me, when I pray for my salvation and deliverance from evil, and that he will keep me hidden from their sight.
So, Elizabeth, again, there's the theme of seeing, that the wicked may remain blind.
So here Melinda Miller gives us this woman who manages to use her very invisibility as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I see and am unseen. Their blindness will be their undoing. And, of course, in Mary Bowser's case, her invisibility has to do with her being not only a woman, but also a black woman during the Civil War. And I have to say, those words feel incredibly resonant to me right now.
Why do you say that?
You said, Bill, when we first began talking about these poems, about the just relentless news about women being sexually harassed in the workplace. And I can't help but think about how the problem with that is that it refuses to see women's value, their worth. And each of these poems gives us a woman who is finding a way, often with an incredible amount of courage, despite the constraints of her time, to assert her worth. And in these poems, these women are being seen for their worth. That's why it feels relevant to me, that's still a struggle. It's astonishing to me that it's still a struggle.
That's KUOW poetry correspondent Elizabeth Austin. Elizabeth, thanks again.
Thanks, Bill.
Melinda Miller is going to be reading from Mary's Dust at Elliott Bay Books on Tuesday, December 12th. And you're going to find photographs of these Civil War era Marys, as well as audio of more poems from Melinda Miller's new collection. All of that is at our website, KUOW.org.